Well, Washington State's legislative session is in some ways heating up, although the budget battle that we have every 2 years is always difficult for people to follow because it seems to happen in fits and starts, and this session has been no different. It seems like all the focus before the legislature comes into session in January is about the budget, and as soon as the legislature actually comes to town, the focus shifts to all the policy ideas, and we saw that this time. Big debates over a potential mandate for health insurance plans to cover abortion, and all kinds of ideas about gun control and gun locks, and all these things that are really controversial and sort of suck up all the oxygen, and the budget debate moves behind closed doors. And just recently, that budget debate has come back out into the open as we have seen the chambers of the legislature, the different parties release their budget proposals, and Governor Inslee with his budget proposal. And so now the debates begin. One of the things that the Freedom Foundation has been very critical about in the past is the degree to which these debates happen in the back rooms, behind closed doors. We really think that the budget process should be transparent. This is really where Washington State policymakers set most of the priorities for our state, right? I mean, money, when you talk about government spending money, that is government power, right? That's money taken from taxpayers and spent on things. And the way those decisions are made should be as transparent as possible, should have as much citizen input as possible. And I know we at the Freedom Foundation are really going to be focusing over this month of April on getting information out from Olympia to Washington State voters and taxpayers and trying to communicate to the policymakers here in Olympia what it is those taxpayers and voters want, which, you know, I found tends to be a priority-based budget. You know, that people have budgets for their own households or their own small businesses, or big businesses for that matter, and there are ramifications for not budgeting well, and those budgets are based on your priorities, right? And when you run out of money, if you have listed out your priorities in good order, then whatever is down there at the bottom gets lopped off, and that may be tough, it may be obvious, but that's the way the rest of the world works. State government should work the same way. They shouldn't be using accounting gimmicks or going back to taxpayers and raising taxes, particularly in a down economy. But our state has plenty of money, regardless of the down economy. The budget has gone up. A lot of people don't realize it's gone up right through the recent recession. State spending continued to rise in each budget. So that's what's happening now. The state Senate majority coalition, the 23 Republicans and two Democrats who control the state Senate, just released a budget that doesn't increase taxes. All the budgets rely a lot on federal money, which is another concern we have here at the Freedom Foundation. Unfortunately, that's sort of a foregone conclusion these days because the federal government reaches so much into state policy with Obamacare, but even with Medicaid funds. We found actually that Washington State's current budget, about a third of the money comes from the federal government. So before anyone listening out there believes the line that Washington State has a balanced budget, we should all remember that when we're taking a third of the money from the federal government and a third of all that federal money, or actually more than a third right now, almost 38 cents on a dollar, is borrowed from our future, that means that the state is really borrowing through the federal government about a sixth of all the money that our state spends. So, you know, they can call that a balanced budget. I call that a big problem, and taxation without representation when we're taking money from future generations. But that's a longer-term problem that our state needs to face up to. Some of the other big issues, you know, marijuana has been a political issue here in Washington State for some time, but with the passage of Initiative 502, there are a lot of policy questions. We also have seen opinion polls, you know, support for getting government out of the business of criminalizing marijuana. Public opinion polls show that position has become maybe even a majority position among the American public. And that leads to a lot of policy decisions about where do you allow marijuana to be sold or smoked? How are you going to tax it? All of these questions have come up in the legislative session. They all revolve around not just the marijuana legalization issue, but also the budget issue. You know, there are people very interested in getting as much revenue out of the new marijuana sales as possible. There are investor groups out there who are hoping to make a lot of money off of marijuana business, and everybody's trying to figure all this out right now. I don't think that when the legislative session ends the end of April, we're going to have a lot of clarity about this, because at the end of the day, the big issue on marijuana is the federal government, which still says it's illegal, still could swoop in and bring federal criminal charges against anybody caught selling, trafficking, using marijuana in Washington state. At this point, they suggest they're not going to do that. But legally, at this point, under current statutes and court decisions, they could do that. And so that uncertainty is going to linger for a long time, and we will, I think, you know, we're in for several years at least of watching how all this shakes out, and probably some high-profile court cases as all this progresses. Of course, the marriage issue has been a big one. The Freedom Foundation doesn't really work on social issues or even on marijuana, but these are big issues in Washington state, and we keep our eye on pretty much everything that happens here in Olympia. I think that a lot of policymakers at least are happy to let the U.S. Supreme Court chew on the couple of cases that were argued here recently. And, you know, when courts take up an issue, it always provides a great opportunity for policymakers, you know, legislators and governors and folks like that to say, well, that's their problem, and the court will figure it out and come back to us with an answer. In this case, because it's the U.S. Supreme Court, they will provide us an answer by the end of June, because they always decide all of their cases each term by the end of June. So we will see which way the winds are blowing at the U.S. Supreme Court on the marriage issue within a few months here. You know, other big issues I know for the Vancouver area, two issues of real importance. One is unemployment. The unemployment rate in Clark County and the surrounding counties is higher than the state average. Actually, Clark County, about 13% unemployment, is one of the hardest hit counties in the state that way. One of the other issues that has been in the press here in the last few days relates to underemployment, and Washington State was found to have the fifth worst underemployment in the country. So that means about 17% of the people in Washington State who are working are not working as much as they would like to be working. And that's obviously a big problem that you don't see just in the unemployment numbers. And I don't have the numbers for Clark County, but I suspect that that's probably similar to the regular unemployment numbers, where Clark County, you know, may well be hard hit with underemployment as well. It's real economic problems and reminders that, you know, while Washington State is doing better than California and better than places like Illinois and Michigan, there's still a lot that we could do to help our economy. Some people claim that we need to invest a lot more in infrastructure, and the other big issue down in Clark County, the Columbia River Crossing project, mega project, is in the news and will continue to be in the news. Hundreds of millions of dollars spent, planned to be spent on that project. A lot of concerns about it. I know Couve.com has reported on a lot of the issues. Freedom Foundation has pointed out some of the concerns and pointed people to some of the sources of information on Columbia River Crossing that I think, unfortunately, some of the mainstream media haven't been as interested to cover. But, you know, this is taxpayer money. Again, it all comes back to government's priorities, government's processes, and responsibility to the people. And, you know, infrastructure is important. Infrastructure is important to businesses, jobs, you know, moms taking their kids to school. But some people in government seem to have the attitude, and we see this in transportation, we see this in education, the attitude that because it's really important, we shouldn't ask questions. And we should have less accountability in these areas that are more important. And, you know, at the Freedom Foundation, we think that is exactly wrong. That's exactly the opposite position. You know, education is important, transportation is important, therefore these areas should have the most rigorous accountability, the most openness and transparency to the public. We're not seeing that in the Columbia River Crossing project. That's a big problem. That's a, you know, we're talking about a $1 billion problem for taxpayers if this project goes wrong. And Freedom Foundation is going to continue to be there, I know, along with CUV.com and a lot of other people locally, keeping an eye on the CRC and trying to let the public know what happens with that project down there. So a lot of issues around the state, a lot of concerns, a lot of things to unfold here in the month of April and over the next few months in Washington State. Well, you know, the word in Olympia is that that these mega projects are done deals, and there's a lot of effort to separate the big projects from other transportation projects. A lot of that is politics. You know, a transportation budget tends to be built around people's districts, right, around legislators' districts and legislators being given projects based on their clout in the legislature. And, you know, for the price of one CRC project or the price of one, tunnel under the Seattle waterfront, you could do transportation projects all around the state. And so it's interesting to watch all this work out. I think that, you know, at this point, people expect the state to come through for CRC, but I don't think anybody can count their chickens on this one before they hatch, before the legislative session actually wraps up the end of April. You know, one of the problems with the way these processes work, when you bring that up with insiders, the conversation tends to come back to, well, we've already spent a lot of money on this, and so we have to keep spending. It's exactly right to point out. I mean, with sequestration, with federal budget problems, you know, state budget issues, including the state Supreme Court requiring more spending on education, and, you know, the legislature seeming to really hold the line against new taxes. At this point, the state Senate says they're going to hold the line, and if they stick together, they can do that. I think all these things are in doubt, and you have very different interests within government. You know, it's always interesting to me, the labor union interests try to stick very tightly together, but the private and public sector unions have very different interests. The public sector unions want government to get bigger, right? Public sector, government, employee unions. Private sector unions want government to spend more money on these infrastructure projects, and it's possible that those two priorities are going to come into conflict in this budget, and if not, they really are on a collision course in Washington State. And the reason why the labor interests tend to get together and support tax increases across the board is that they know if you don't keep growing the government pie, if you don't keep putting more money into government, at some point, the different union groups' interests actually conflict, and we could see that on CRC versus, making good on some of the promises made to government employees. But at this point, it's just hard to say.